Hello and welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Holle.
And my name is Violet. This is Therapy Hour.
Because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory from the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam peoples.
This week, we're talking about being the therapy friend.
Ooh, our favorite one. Our last episode of 2021.
Yeah, that's true. That's super exciting. Yeah, I'm excited to do this one because I think we both really identify with being the therapy friend.
Yes.
So I'm excited to get into our histories of being the therapy friend and how that's manifested for us and share some anecdotes.
Yeah, I think that, you know, as being very big proponents of actual therapy, we also both really assume the role of being the therapy friend. And I don't think many people know this term unless they actually are the therapy friend. So I think it'll be interesting for people to hear some anecdotes. Just a side note for this week, because it's such a special episode and because we have so much experience, we're not going to do any research portion. You're just going to hear our lovely, lovely thoughts.
Yeah, I know. I love what you said there about you have to be the therapy friend to understand what the therapy friend is. And it's really interesting because I've brought it up just that we're doing the therapy friend episode this week to a few friends. And it's interesting. Some people instantly recognize like, oh, I know exactly what that is. And other people are like, what's that?
I literally just had a conversation with someone where they were like, I don't know what that means.
Oh, and really?
I'm like, oh, you don't know, do you?
Interesting. And then sometimes you explain it to people and then they get it a bit more.
Yeah.
So maybe we should kind of explain, like, what does that mean? It's kind of intuitive, I feel like, in just the title, but
I think the idea behind a therapy friend is the person in, like, a friend group, usually, but just, like, a person that tends to take on the, like, emotional support of many people. And I think the concept, or at least how the way I've defined being the therapy friend, has been the person a lot of people go to, because it's like they're almost like a therapist.
Right. It literally assuming the role of a therapist for your friends.
Yeah.
So they unload all their issues onto you. Unload maybe is a kind of a negative term, but they share a lot of their issues with you. And then you step in and you give advice and you try and be, you know, maybe objective and help them through and support them through the issues that they're facing.
I think also a really big part of like the actual concept of being the therapy friend is that a lot of the time the people who are therapy friends are not given back that same response in the interactions they're having. So
totally.
It's like having someone come to you and unload on you, which is, you know, it's perfectly fine to do in your relationships and your friendships, but then that relationship, at least for me in my experiences, that relationship then becomes, oh, when we hang out, you're going to tell me everything that's going on in your life. I'm going to give you advice. And then that's it. Like, I'm not considered in any of this. I am simply here to help you through this thing. And you don't really care about where my feelings are at, which, again, you pay someone in therapy so that their job is to listen to you. When you have a friend that's doing that and you're not checking in on them, it can get quite.
Yeah, and we're going to get into all of that, of the one-sidedness that can happen with therapist friends and, you know, making sure that their therapy friend is being taken care of as well, and some of our, you know, histories and struggles with that. I think it's very appropriate. Obviously, we do a therapy hour show. It makes sense that we really resonate with this topic. But have you always kind of been the therapy friend in the friend groups that you found yourself in?
I was thinking about this. Honestly, I don't think so. I see my role as a therapy friend coming very directly from being so socially anxious. Like my first few years, especially my first year of university. In high school, I don't really remember many people talking to me about their problems. And I was never really talking about mine. I don't think I was asking that much. But I have this really, really great memory of, like, I think the first person I remember, like, being the therapy friend to, which was this person in one of my classes. It was when I was trying to, like, make more friends, and I was just, like, trying to talk to a bunch of people. And we left class together, and we were chatting about, like, how we were really upset with the professor, and then, like, the girl was kind of like, yeah, and, you know, I've just had this, like, really rough weekend. So I was like, oh, like, what happened?
Yeah.
This beginning, she didn't really say anything. And then I pressed a little bit. all of a sudden, waterworks.
Oh, wow.
Just like we were at the fountain and she's just like sobbing and like telling me this like horrendous story of her, like what had happened to her over the weekend and like her relationship. And we really just like dove into it.
Yeah.
And she said, like, I don't have anyone else to talk to. Like all of our friends are mutual and I don't want to burden them with this. And that was kind of the first time I remember, because then our relationship only became like we would meet up and she would just talk to me about what was going on. And then I found throughout that period of like, oh, like so many people are just like going through so much.
Yeah.
And no one, not that no one's talking about it, but I think that a lot of people aren't given that outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to realize, like, you ask someone a few questions, they will tell you anything.
People are ready to talk about it. They just want to know that the person asking cares and, you know, will be there for them and is asking because they're feeling, you know, empathetic towards their situation. They're receiving some kind of support. And then once that's kind of established, I think it's very easy for some people to like unload a bit and be, you know, a bit more vulnerable when they feel like someone has created that safe space for them.
And I think too, like, why I see that point as being such a, you know, important part of like how I started to structure my relationships was like, one, I was so happy that I could give that to someone. And to this day, that's something that I really enjoy about myself. And I see as a big pro of like kind of having this role in some friend's life is like a lot of people don't get those outlets. And I surely didn't growing up.
Yeah.
And so being able to provide that for people was great. But I also like, very quickly it became a really large part of like my self-worth. And I was like, I can give this to someone and that means I like have a lot of purpose in their life. I have a lot of meaning to them because I'm the person they go to. I'm the person that's going to be there when things go poorly.
Right.
And then I started just structuring all my relationships like that. So all my relationships were incredibly like emotionally bonded of like, you know, all this information, you are the person I will go to if this happens, which we'll get into a little later of how that might not be the best thing in the entire world.
Totally. Yeah, I resonate with what you said there about that being something that you like that you can give to people and realizing that that's something, there's a need out there. Like people want and crave a therapist and maybe that takes form in a therapy friend.
Yes.
And one of my favorite qualities about myself is that I know I am a very good listener, and I love that about myself, and I think that really helps me to step into the role of therapy friend and has helped me like kind of throughout my life to really just be a good listener for my friends and the people in my life, and I'm really happy that I can do that for the people that I love. But I think as time has gone on, I've really had to step back and think about limiting that and kind of being a bit more like picky and choosy about the times that I'm going to step into that role and who I'm stepping into that role for.
Yeah.
Because of what you mentioned earlier of I'm not always receiving that support back. And if there's someone in my life that I love and I care about, of course, I'm going to do that for them.
Of course.
But it is exhausting. It takes a lot of time and energy and labor emotionally to step into that role for someone. So I've really had to learn when I want to do that and had to like kind of, you know, just because I can do it for everyone doesn't mean I should.
Yeah. I'm interested to know when you came to that realization.
So I was going to get into this a little bit later, but I feel like you and I have had a lot of conversations that have really helped me realize like why I'm such a good listener.
Right.
And unpack that a little bit. And when I kind of looked back into the past and the patterns of my relationships and my dynamics within even just my family, that really made me kind of self-reflect and look at the way I am now and why that is based on my personal history. And then also, I think before I was very happy to just be the therapy friend and I didn't really question it and I wasn't critical about who I was doing that for. And then I made friends who gave me support back.
Halle
100% is at the top of that list. We'll get into this a little bit more, but like I hadn't received the support that Halle gave me until Halle gave it to me, and I realized that I could have higher expectations of my friends and for myself. And I realized that I can't expect a friend to give me that support back. And that's when it really dawned on me of like, I might be just giving out this support a little bit too willy-nilly.
Right.
And I don't want it to take a toll on me.
Right.
You know, that's when it really like changed for me, I would say.
Do you, in your life now, are there times where you still may like catch yourself doing that a little bit? And then you have to like look back and be like, I just spent a lot of emotional energy into someone who absolutely did not do this back to me.
Oh, yes. I just had an interaction the other week on campus. I had run into a friend that I really didn't, I haven't seen in a very long time.
Right.
So I was like super excited to see him. And I was going to the bus loop and he was going to a class at the rec center. So we had a couple minutes and we like sat down to chat and catch up. And I was asking about how his finals were going and what his classes look like for next semester and what he wanted to do after he graduated. And, oh, how are your classes going at rec? And that's a new thing. And asking all about that. And, you know, how are you doing? How's your family? All of this stuff,
right.
You know, I was excited to hear about it. Like they were genuine questions and he was telling me a lot about it. And then there was kind of this lull in the conversation. And he was like, well, I think I'm going to go to class. And I was like, okay, bye. And I was walking to the bus and I was thinking about the conversation that we just had. And I was like, he didn't ask me a single question about myself. He didn't ask me how I was. He didn't ask how my finals were going. You know, nothing. You know, I realized that I, you know, and I played into that as well. I was asking him all these questions about himself. And I really realized, like, you know, I love that friend and I have a lot of care for that friend. And that friend has shared with me a lot of, you know, personal things about his life that I've really been able to be there for him. And I don't think he has that support in other places. So I am happy to give that to him. And again, it's a friend I don't see all the time.
Right.
So it's fine. But it did make me think. I was like, and it was also when we were preparing for this episode as well.
Right.
So I was like, wow, I really just stepped into that role and didn't get anything back.
Yeah. You know, we talk about this so much between the two of us is like we have aspects of ourselves that we both really enjoy. So like what you were saying earlier is, you know, you love that you are a great listener and you ask some like great questions and you keep up with people's lives and you remember the things they tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's sometimes then recognizing, you know, I'm doing a lot of the groundwork here. And again, in this situation, you know, you don't see this friend as often. Maybe it's okay. But then there's definitely times where, like, that bleeds into an ongoing relationship.
Yeah.
And you leave just feeling exhausted.
Right.
And then, you know, I think from my own experience, I had somewhat similar, not similar in the same context, but a few years ago, I was talking to a friend and I was going through a lot at the time, just emotionally. And I think that was kind of the first time where I started realizing, like, oh, not everyone's going to ask me what's going on, or not everyone's going to, I don't know, it just may not come in conversation. So I need to bring it up and I need to ask for that support, which is already something that's very difficult for me to do.
Yeah.
And me and this friend were chatting and I was talking to them about, like, yeah, you know, all this stuff happened with this person and now I'm really sad and I was telling them how I was going back to therapy and like having all these realizations and they just looked at me and nodded and I was like,
dude,
I was like, anything?
Nothing.
And this was also someone that I
you
would
had
stay
given
up
support
hours
to.
Like we would talk all the time about everything that was going on with them, but they would never ever asked me back. And the thing is, and this was something that came up when I was thinking about this conversation, was that in the time period in second year when I was fully engrossed in other people's problems, I was happy to do that at the time. I had a lot of emotional capabilities to do it. I was also ignoring a lot of things that were going on with me. So I feel like for me, being able to support someone else, and even in a way taking on a burden of their issues or emotional like turmoil kind of distracts me from the fact that maybe I'm going through something. And I remember I went to lunch with this friend of mine, a really good friend of mine, one of my best friends. I talk about her on the podcast all the time. and we had gone up and we were chatting and I was just kind of telling her like, oh, you know, like so and so, she doesn't know any of these people. I was like, yeah, you know, this girl that I met the other day, like she told me this, and then, oh yeah, there's this girl from my class and she's going through this, and oh, there's this guy who I met at this party and he told me all this. And she was like, so what's going on with you?
Yeah.
And I'd responded just being like, oh no, I'm fine. Everything's okay. That's why I'm here and giving people support, because I don't need anything.
Right.
And we've talked about that interaction before, and she was like, you were absolutely going through something.
Right.
But no one was asking.
Yeah.
And I think that it's so jarring in those moments of like realizing that the people that you're giving support to just have expected it over time.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that doesn't even want to blame them, because it's like, this is how they've learned our relationship has been.
I mean, yeah, it can be definitely like quite the slippery slope where
right.
you do fall into a pattern with a person and you do start to learn a certain dynamic.
Right.
And like, sure, you're also playing into it, like in the same way that I saw that friend and I was like voluntarily asking those questions. You know, he wasn't asking me to ask those questions.
Right.
I was happy to do that. But, like, I do think it kind of is on the other person to recognize, like, because at the same time, I have had friends who I'm giving a lot of support to, and, you know, I meet up with them in person, and I help them in crisis mode, and then we continue to talk about it, meet up and text and all this stuff. And I have this one friend who I was doing that for recently, and she was sending me messages of, like, I know this is a lot. I really appreciate you doing this. Like,
yeah.
you know, just thanking me. Like, honestly, that in and of itself goes a long
yeah.
way. And then she does make space, like, for me to be like, well, how are you? You know, what's going on in your life? And, you know, when some people have an awareness to do that, it's hard not to look around and say, everyone should have that awareness.
I know. I think it's just so hard, though, because, again, I think that the times in which I've become the like ranting person that someone goes to, there's this weird dichotomy that's happening of like, this feels so good because I love being able to help
yeah.
people. I love working through something with someone. And because I think that also, this is something that we'll talk about a bit later too, but both you and I have found a really great way to run through and dissect our problems. And it's like this, you know, process of kind of, okay, let's go into the situation and like, let's dissect it all the way down to its core. And let's then talk about the aspects and let's talk about the things we want to improve on. And let's talk about the ways in which we can do that. And then all the different, you know, like
yeah.
doing it
running
in detail. And I think
it.
A lot of people don't do that.
Yeah.
And I think that once, at least with my friendships, the people that have taken on that way of thinking have really benefited from it. But you need to have someone else there to do that
yeah.
with you. So there's a part of me that loves that. And I love doing that with other people. And I love doing it for myself. And I love seeing the positive effect it has on someone. What then becomes the problem, which is kind of the root cause of what we will be talking about, what we have been talking about, is that I think that sometimes it doesn't get recognized from everyone else that this is an emotionally laborious thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's hard for the person that's having to go through it, but it also can be hard on the people that are helping you on the way there.
Truly, because I think kind of at the core of being a therapy friend is someone who really deeply cares for their friends.
Right.
And so you are kind of taking on their burden a little bit when you are working through these problems. And I know when I have friends who are going through something and they've told me a lot about it, I'm invested and I'm thinking
yeah.
about it on my own time. Like, I'm thinking about their issues and they do kind of feel like mine.
Yeah.
And that's very burdensome. It really is. And again, so many people that I'm happy to do that for, but it is kind of exhausting.
I'm interested to know a little bit, because you and I have similar feelings about this, but I think both of us are on somewhat of a different path to the acceptance of, because I think you, at least from my perception, are pretty good now at deciding who you're going to give that support to and who
yeah.
you're not going to give that support to. And I just want you to talk about that a little bit. I know you've kind of been talking about it a little bit, but I think
yeah.
it'd be nice to hear kind of where your mindset goes to when you're trying to give that support.
Yeah, it is. It's tough sometimes because I think there's even kind of a category of people who I would consider myself quite close to and who would probably be happy to give me some of the support that I would maybe want. But I have certain friends who I think I do process and accept support in a very particular way. And I have some friends who just aren't the best at giving me the support in the way that I most want, you know? For me, something I really appreciate about you is that I feel like you have really good instincts for this kind of support that I want. Right. So I can really trust that I can come to you and you're going to give me support in a way that feels really helpful.
Yeah.
And I have some friends who try and give me support in ways that is a little bit less helpful.
Right.
And that's not their fault, you know, but it just makes me not want to go to those people necessarily because I know even if they're trying their best, it may not really be what I want. And so that's when it gets a bit tricky for me to decipher whether I should be the therapy friend for them, because they are people that I find myself close to. But then I do need to think about, like, how much can I actually be there for that person, because I will be taking on this extra load of a whole other person's problems.
Right.
And not really getting that reciprocity.
Yeah.
And so that's a bit tricky. And so when I'm thinking of some of the friends in my life like that, I think what I've done most often is I've given them support, but I've made it kind of known that this isn't an all the time thing.
Yeah.
This is like, if I'm with you and you're in crisis mode, something's going on, let's talk about it. Let's get into it. I can give you some advice, you know, whatever. But like, don't be relying on me that heavily.
Right.
You know? And it's interesting because what I've seen with you is like, a lot of times, not to call you out or anything, but you will step into that therapy friend role very early on in some of your friendships. And I think, you know, that's amazing. And I think that's something that people love about you. Like, that's a wonderful quality. And that's very generous of you. I think for me, you kind of have to earn my therapy. You have to get close to me and then you can get my therapy. Whereas I feel like you are like so happy to just like give it. Like, I have literally seen you at parties. I've like looked over and you're deep in like an emotional conversation with someone. I'm like, is Holly even friends with that person? But you're like literally helping them through like their trauma. And I'm like, that's amazing. But also, are you okay?
Yeah, we were just talking about that the other night because we were talking about this party that I went to, or we went to together. And I was talking to this person and all of a sudden they were just sobbing. And I was like, I'm so sorry.
What happened?
And I think it's so funny. It's not funny. People are going through stuff. And that's the main reason why I do it. And I think there's a lot of things that's rooted in like the reasons why I do that. One is because, again, like I said earlier, I did not get any support like that growing up, like family and friends included. Like, emotional connection was not something that I was accustomed to. I didn't have any partners like growing up either, all throughout high school. So I never really learned what it was like to be emotionally dependent on someone. So I kept a lot of that stuff inside.
Yeah.
When I came to university and started making more friends and, you know, friendships that were much more mature and like started to grow, because we were going from 18 to 19 to 20, great formative, like mature ages, I was like, oh, people are going to start asking me about this and people care.
Yeah.
And the few times other people were doing that to me, I kind of took that and was like, okay, well, I should be doing this for other people as well. That's one thing. I think also, you know, social anxiety. I feel like once I've found that I can just talk to people about what they're going through, then I'm like, all right, let's just do it. And I think now it's just become such a second nature thing to do, because I just have this assumption. It's not even an assumption. I know it's a fact that everyone's going through something.
Yeah.
Every single person you walk by. And that to me, in a way, is very comforting, because there is so much of my life that I spent thinking that the things that I was feeling and the experiences I was going through were so independent and no one else was going through them. And then I grew up and realized that everyone's going through them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just interesting now, because I've found myself in some very interesting situations where I know a lot about someone and everything that they have gone through. And it's hard because I'm always kind of stuck too, because I'm like, do you want me to follow up? Like, sometimes I'll text them and I'll just be like, you know, if you want to do this again or you want to talk. But it's also like, I've got a lot of other things on my plate. I can't always do that for someone. And then I get this really bad guilt. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh my God, this person just like opened up to me. Also, just a side note too, when talking about that situation of meeting someone and having them open up to me, so many times I've gotten this beautiful line that just sends so much serotonin into my brain. It's just, you're the only person I've ever told this to.
Oh my gosh.
Which, like, I don't know what it is about. It's just like, it's great, and yeah, it's really validating, and it really makes me feel good about myself. It also puts so much pressure.
No kidding.
On that situation.
Seriously.
Because I'm like, what am I going to do now? Because if I don't follow up, you haven't told anyone else about this.
Yeah.
How are we going to talk about this? What am I going to do with this information? I had that happen.
That's intense.
Yeah, I had that happen a few weeks ago where I was like talking to this person and they were like, you're the only person that knows about this. And I was like, we met like 2 weeks ago.
Oh my God.
And this is the first time we're having a conversation that's not like, how's school going?
Right. Wow.
So I don't know. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot because I think that you've done this great thing where you're like, people need to earn this from me. I know that this is something valuable that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, unfortunately, the way that I've conceived of it now is that being the therapy friend or just being someone that can be supportive for their friends has become so much of my identity.
Yeah.
That if I don't fulfill that, I'm very upset.
Like,
I'm upset.
Who am I? What role do I play?
Yeah. And like, I don't know. I think that there's a lot of good things that can come from relationships that are not emotionally, you know, intense. I've had some of those now, and I think that's nice now because I'm like, oh, I can have
friends. You're just a fun friend.
You're just
or
a very fun friend.
Yeah.
But it is still something I really struggle with. And because if it's such a part of your identity and you really feel attached to it, but also know how good it is for everyone else that's around you, then like, why wouldn't you just want to do it all the time?
Because it's exhausting.
Yes.
And it's a like really hard thing to do sometimes. That's why.
Yes, you're right. You're right. We're going to take a quick break, get some water, maybe calm down a little bit. We're going to play a great song. It's from the new Mac Miller album. It's called Therapy.
Oh, how appropriate.
How appropriate. We'll be back after some ads to keep talking about this issue.
Just so Pittsburgh, man. Tell how's it feel. Can you tell me how it feel? Now it's real. So can you tell me how you feel? Got you flexing, feeling colder than ice. Let it melt as we follow all the stupid advice. And I don't usually like to be the sun to switch you. I must have lost the picture. Give me a box of Swishers, room full of obnoxious bitches. Why you lying to me? Just grab your ladies, that Mercedes, all kinds of roomy. And when the times are gloomy, hit me up. I could make you feel like that perfect girl you wish you was. Giving you that feeling like when Christmas comes. I just take all of my problems, throw them in the blunt. Light them up and watch them float away. Hey. Watch them float.
The haunting debut album Black Moon by Civic TV provides a cinematic backdrop, a modern-day symphony of the dark and light that is our collective reality. Take a listen to Black Moon, now available via Flemish Eye Records and on all streaming platforms.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. We're talking about being the therapy friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I talked about this a little bit earlier, but I am really grateful to have found you, a fellow therapy friend, because I think, you know, it's a relationship where it has been so mutual,
mm-hmm.
and as much support as I've given you, you've given it right back, mm-hmm. which is amazing. Like, mm-hmm. it's not something I take for granted because so many other relationships haven't given me that.
Yeah.
And I have literally, I don't even know how many times I've been in crisis mode, crying to Halle. We're probably 4 hours deep in conversation with all the attention on me and my issues. And I turn to Halle and I say, thank you so much for being here right
yeah.
now. Like, I cannot appreciate it enough because it really does mean so much to me. And like the most recent time where it happened, we were sitting in our living room and I was crying and
it was great.
We don't have to talk about it. And I like, I couldn't look at Halle because I was too emotional, but I was like looking down at my lap and Halle was sitting next to me on the couch. And I was like, you know, like, I really didn't have high standards for myself before you came into my life. Like, I really didn't know what I deserved until someone really showed me, and it was you. Like, you really showed me that I deserved so much more than what I was getting, and it literally changed my life because
yeah.
now I feel myself having much higher expectations for the people in my life, and I think a lot of people who have been constants in my life for a while have felt that change, and
yeah.
that's been difficult for people because I haven't always had these expectations, but I know that I deserve it now because I've been shown that people, the right people, are willing to give it to me, and that has like really, really changed my life.
Well, I think the you know, on top of all the reasons why we're friends and why I love you so much, I think a big thing for me has always been that, and I think for both of us, because I think you've also said this to me before as well, is like, you are great at like validating at me at all aspects, and that validation has always been so important, which is like something that lots of people get out of therapy.
Yeah.
But getting it from a friend, and like, I was always like, I would think the things that I think are stupid, or that like, oh, I just did this dumb
yeah.
thing, and oh, now I'm sad about this person, even though I don't think I should be. And then you've always been there to be like, no, you're allowed to be sad.
Yeah.
You're allowed to do this thing. Or you're sitting there being like, you need to talk to this
mm-hmm.
person because you know that what you're feeling and why you're upset with them is a valid reason to
yeah.
be upset with them. And I think that going into like the broader, you know, discussion here of like what a therapy friend is, I will say that we are like therapy friends for one another, but it almost doesn't feel that way because it's not, for me, it doesn't feel like I'm just getting the life
yeah.
sucked out of me when I'm around you.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we spend lots of time together, so that
would
be really
not.
Bad.
Yeah.
But like, there have been times in our life where one of us is really going through it and the other one may not be going through as much. And so
mm-hmm.
that's always been kind of an understood and seemingly unspoken part of our relationship, has been like, I'm going to be here for you. Oh, you need support now. Like,
mm-hmm.
I can be here for you. And I think when I was thinking about, or when I was helping write the script for this, I was like thinking back to some memories. And the number one thing I remember about you is that one time, not number one thing, just something that I can remember of like really showing me that you were going to be there for me no
mm-hmm.
matter what, was like I had been broken up with and I was very sad, and I called you and you did not think I was going to be broken up with.
Mm-mm.
And then I think I must have called you and you were in like Burnaby or something
yeah.
like that, and you definitely had things you needed to do that day. And I called you and I was like, we broke up. And you're like, where are you? And I'm like, I'm going home. And you're like, I'm coming home.
I'll be there.
And I was like, you can go to class. It's okay. And you're like, no, I'm coming. Like, obviously, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
And that's obviously such a, it's a small gesture. It's like a, it's just the physical act of being there. But it's like someone dropping everything to be there for you.
No.
And I think there have been times in both of our lives where we've done that for people who very much didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
Because I know that I would do that for you in a drop of a hat. If you told me you need me here right now, yeah, of course I'm going to be there. And I know if I did the same thing for you, if I said that same thing to you, you would also do that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting that you say, like, that the way that it's mutual for us almost takes it out of the realm of being a therapy friend, which I guess kind of makes sense because therapy is one-sided.
Yes.
Like, you shouldn't be going to your therapy office and your therapist is unloading back to you. Like, you shouldn't really ask your therapist how they're doing,
right,
even though that kind of has happened to me. I did have a therapist who kind of unloaded her problems onto me.
Oh, God.
It was bad. But that's not how therapy should be.
No.
So is that something that you really associate with being the therapy friend, is like just having it be super one-sided, like kind of almost like a negative connotation a little bit?
I don't think it's ultimately negative. I think that the concept in this context, when we talk about the therapy friend, I do really think that the people who become the therapy friend or see themselves as one, in the definition, it is one-sided because you are the person that everyone is going to talk about their problems. And most likely, someone's going to another person in times of crisis. They're not really going to ask you how you're doing, which honestly, I would like to say firsthand, is not a problem. Like,
no.
If you need support in that moment, absolutely. Like, you just let me know and I can be there and we can talk it through, whatever. I think that the concept of it happening over and over and over again and no reciprocation of that, because, like, for you and I, sometimes we'll have the, like, long, like, 8-hour chats where it's, like, both you and I going back and forth because, like, we're both going through something. But most likely it's going to be, like, oh, someone's going to come home and say, oh, this thing happened. Like, I really want to, like, talk about it. And then that's accepted. And then, like, the next time or just another time it might be different.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's kind of my initial answer. However, I don't not want to be the therapy friend.
Yeah.
I think that it's a very good and important role to me personally. Mm-hmm. I do know that it can cause a lot of stress for myself, and I've had to learn how to balance that.
Yeah.
However, I don't particularly want to be telling everyone my problems.
That's the other thing I was going to say, is like, I think as much as I pick and choose the people that I'm giving that support to now, I think also I've realized, like, there are a select few people who I really want to, like, get into my issues with that are most personal, you know, like just having a bad day. Sure, I'll tell anyone that, whatever, happy to vent. But when it gets down to, like, my most personal challenges and struggles and issues, like, it is a short list of who I want to be telling that to. And, you know, that's probably true for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But then it kind of doesn't make sense, because I feel like we've both heard some pretty, like, personal things from people we weren't probably on the short list for.
I think that there's an aspect of it being not completely anonymous, but having it be a stranger.
Yeah.
As, again, someone who's had people that I've met that night. I would call it, like, the one night stand, but for emotional vulnerability. That's literally what it is, because I feel like some people, you know, a lot of the time the people that I'm talking to for the first time and they're telling me a lot is just like maybe they're drunk or something like that. But I mean, I don't know. I had this experience a few weeks ago where I was talking to someone and we had met once, ran into each other one more time, and they told me their entire life story.
No.
I think that people maybe don't want to talk. Maybe they feel like they're burdening their friends. Maybe they don't have that type of relationship with their friends. And then I think when you have someone there, like you or I, good listeners, asking lots of questions, prompting this kind of acceptance, I feel like people are going to take that.
Yeah, that's probably very accurate, I would imagine. Like, you are there asking the right questions at the right time, and maybe they don't have someone else who's asking those questions with that care and compassion, and that they have a need that's not really being fulfilled. That's super interesting. We are gonna hear some more ads, and when we come back, we'll talk about setting boundaries with friends. We'll talk about sometimes when being the therapy friend has gotten a bit toxic and how we've dealt with that. So we'll be back after a few short ads.
Everybody Is In provides relief to the COVID-19 crisis by delivering goods and services to residents of the downtown East Side. And we need donations. Right now, we are looking for protective personal equipment, sanitation supplies, non-perishable food, and hygiene items. You can email everybodyisin2020donations@gmail.com to make a donation, or go to dtesresponse.ca for more information. Everybody Is In is funded by Downtown Eastside Response through diversity, arts, music, and entertainment.
Has the gloom of winter got you feeling down? What about the dreaded sinking sensation when faced with piles of to-do lists? Chase away the blues this month by revisiting the Victory Square Block Party in Discord Magazine's Real Life Action column. Pick up a copy at Big Joy Barber and gather your dancing shoes for a luscious journey into Primps Daytona. Or drop by Far Out Coffee and reflect on the nature of vulnerability with Franz the Poet. Dive into the depths of theater with Rhiannon Collette. Learn about community spaces that heal with Day Shields, and explore the core of connection with Brendan Poe's Heavy Petting, which premiered at the 2021 Vancouver International Film Festival. Before you go, come chat with our programming manager, Jasper Sloan Yip, for tips on how to make damn good radio from home. Through rain or shine, Discorder Magazine is here for you. Forever local and forever free.
Welcome back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM.
Well, I think that it's important to talk about boundaries. In thinking about this episode, you know, we both thought it was very important to talk about our experiences being the therapy friend, maybe why we have that desire to do it, maybe our struggles with it.
Yeah.
And something that I really struggle with in all aspects of my life, but especially in, like, my friendships and the friendships that I give emotional support to, is drawing boundaries.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of people struggle with, because you want to be there for your friends.
It's a hard thing to do as well. Like, it does take a lot of confidence and knowing kind of what you want and what's working and what's not working. And I think for me, what's been scary about setting boundaries is being worried that, first of all, someone won't respect them, which is always a really disheartening thing to have to deal with.
Yes.
But also, on my own end, maybe wanting to go back on those boundaries.
Yeah.
But it's okay, because boundaries can always be a continued conversation. They can always be not renegotiated, because that sounds like, oh, don't take my boundaries seriously, which is not the point. But you can always bring it up. Like, if you set boundaries and then those boundaries aren't working for you or the other person, you talk about it again.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world.
I think I had a really great conversation with a friend once where we were talking about boundaries and boundaries within friendships. And she said this great piece, which was like, you know, so many people talk about drawing boundaries in their romantic relationships and how important it is for, you know, the relationship, the romantic relationship you're in, to be communicative and like, we're going to set boundaries and this is what I need from you, this is what I don't need from you. But those conversations, I feel like, rarely happen in friendships.
True.
And I really don't like that, because my friends are, at this point, more important than any romantic relationship I've had. And even when I'm in romantic relationships, hold the same weight.
Yeah.
But the fact that all the emphasis goes on, like, doing that with your partner, that's okay. You should be doing that with your partner. But I feel like there should be some respect founded in your friendships.
And
I've really been trying to have those conversations a little bit more, and, like, also knowing for myself that I can draw boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one thing I will say is, like, I've definitely drawn the boundaries before, and they've ultimately, maybe that wasn't the sole cause of it, but it's been one of the reasons why a friendship has ended. And on the other hand, I will say that I do think when you hold an emotional attachment or an emotional relationship with someone where they are very dependent on you and you draw that boundary, you may find that that relationship changes.
Yeah.
And I have a very good memory of like drawing a boundary with a friend once because the situation that they were in was just a lot for me to handle. And I was spending so much time just going over it in my head and finding solutions and talking them through it and then having to deal with a lot of like what they were going through and just taking it upon myself. And it took me a really long time.
Yeah.
And I finally just said it. I was like, listen, I don't think I can do this. And I really need to take myself out of this for a second because it's really hard. And one, I felt so guilty about it for weeks.
Right.
I literally felt so bad.
Yeah, because you know that they're going through something. You're highly, highly aware about the fact that they're going through something. You know exactly what it is that they're going through. You also know you can't be this person for them anymore. But it's really hard to say that to someone who you know is going through something.
Absolutely. And like on top of that, I saw the relationship change. I saw that, you know, we weren't as close anymore.
Yeah.
We wouldn't talk for really long periods of time. And even the times that we would talk, I would try and like reconnect in a way, but the only way I knew how to do it was giving emotional support.
Yeah.
It was so hard. It was such a weird place to be in where I was just like, what the heck?
Yeah, isn't it so sad when you take yourself out of the support role in a friendship dynamic and then the whole friendship falls apart?
Oh my God.
And you're like, me supporting you through your issues has been our whole relationship, and it doesn't exist without that. That's when it's really upsetting because it is, you kind of realize, like, has this friendship ever given me anything?
Well, and I've had that happen so often, like way more than I intend or like the way more than I'm comfortable with.
Yeah.
Like the few times, like it's especially friends that I meet just like through classes or whatnot, and our relationship becomes very like entrenched in emotional support. And then I stop doing it a little bit and then nothing, like radio silence. And I've had this happen too, because I think that another important thing that I want everyone to know, because this podcast I do hope can inspire some people to look deep into themselves, is like I've also had to be involved in some really, really intense like emotional support systems. And when I realize now, when I was talking about being younger, I wasn't that supportive to a lot of my friends, but there was a portion of my life where I was very supportive to like a group of strangers.
Anyway.
If that makes sense. It was just when I was like, I had a lot of online friends growing up, and some very intense stuff was happening to the people that I was friends with.
Yeah.
And I had to experience a lot of very traumatic things at a very young age through what these other people were going through.
Yeah.
And the reason I am bringing that up is because I had a friend once that, you know, we were very, very close, and they had told me some things that was genuinely something that was so triggering and so hard for me to like really hone in on. And I just couldn't do it. And I communicated that to them and they held it against me. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh,
oh my God.
Gosh.
Like it was this whole thing of them telling me these things. And I was like, I really appreciate you telling me all this. And I am so sorry that this is happening to you. I don't know if I can do this for you because I've had these experiences. So this is what I'm willing to give and this is what I'm not willing to give. And then, you know, at the time our friendship was in a very weird limbo. And I remember then talking to them once and them just being like, well, you weren't there when I told you all this stuff. And I was like, I told you I can't do this.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm really proud of you for setting that boundary. That's really hard to do.
Yeah.
And I've been in somewhat similar situations where someone's going through an issue that has also impacted me. And it can be really hard because you know how hard they're struggling because you've gone through the same thing. But you do need to take care of yourself. And that's a big thing I think we both want to stress is if you are listening to this episode and you maybe knew beforehand or are recognizing now that you are the therapy friend, like, you can't help anyone else if you are not getting the help that you need, whether that's a friend or an actual therapist.
Yeah, crazy concept.
Yeah, imagine that. But you do need to take care of yourself first, and you do need to watch out for yourself first. And this is what I hear you doing in this scenario where you were like, you know what? I love you. I want to be there for you. But I need to be there for me first. And this is going to really hurt me if I give you the support.
Yeah.
Please go and get it somewhere else. And I, you know, wish you the best in that.
Right.
And so that's really upsetting, because if this friend really cared for you back, they would be able to understand that.
Oh, yeah.
You would hope.
You would hope.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always happen. And the thing is like, I've had friends give me boundaries before and tell me, like, these are the things I like to talk about. These are things I don't think I can talk about. And that's great.
Yeah.
And I've respected that. And I do understand that we talk about this a lot too, where like I have a really great support system. And that's the other thing I was going to talk about when you were asking, you know, therapy friend being negative or positive or whatnot, is that the one thing it has given me, one, is you, because we became friends because we were emotionally supporting each other so much.
That's pretty true.
But in general, has given me this great support system because I could be there for so many people. And a few of them decided to come back and also be there for me.
Yeah.
So for me, when one friend is unable to talk to me about something, or like maybe doesn't understand and will try their best to be there but can't really sympathize or empathize or has no idea what to say, to me that's okay, because one, I've spent a lot of my life dealing with things on my own and I know how to do that by myself and I am comfortable doing that by myself. I also go to therapy sometimes and I also have other people in my life to support me. But when it gets to that point in the relationship with you and another person that maybe you're the only one someone is going to, then the pressure's on.
Yeah.
And it almost feels like sometimes you can be just trapped in that, because you're like, if I leave, I don't know who's going to be there for you.
Yeah.
But this is killing me to be here for you right now.
Well, and at that point, you know, I would urge those people to go to actually a professional and go to a therapist, because sometimes people's problems are too big for the therapy friend. Because at the end of the day, you're not a professional. You're probably not trained in a lot of the topics that you're talking about. Like, people are dealing with some really serious stuff.
Right.
And you're not trained to always, probably not trained to do that and deal with that. And also, like, you know, you're not just an objective blob, you know, like, you're probably, you might be giving therapy to strangers if you're Hallé, but most likely you're being the therapist friend for people who are integrated into your life, and so you know the characters at play that they're having issues with, and that can be kind of a conflict of interest for yourself. And so in those certain points, you know, I would really urge those people to seek out a therapist, especially if you're on the other end of things and you're realizing that you've really been relying on someone in particular to help you through your issues. You know, that's great. You have a great friend.
Yeah.
Maybe thank them.
I was going to say.
Maybe say, hey, I just listened to this podcast episode and it made me think of you, and I love you and I appreciate everything you do.
Yeah.
And then also think, you know, one, are you giving back to them? Are you giving them the support? Have you even asked them how they're doing? And then also, are your problems maybe a little bit too big for that one person? And do you need to either, like, seek support out from other friends and, like, space that out a little bit more? Or is it time to take it to a professional? And I know everyone needs therapy, but not everyone can afford it.
We do know.
But maybe there's another solution there that can kind of help you.
Yeah, I think that the main things, one, having someone thank you for the support you have goes such,
honestly, a really long way.
Half the time, like, I've had friends, and I will, you know, I'll talk about this too, just very quickly, that I've definitely had friends that I don't want to have emotionally support me. They are not the type of person that I need support from, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But I will give them support in the same time. And honestly, the only reason I'll keep doing it for someone is if they are thanking me.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, maybe that I won't start resenting them because I am doing it, because I know that it's actually making a difference in their life. And it's, and they appreciate it and they are understanding it. So I'd say thank them. Also, check in on your therapy friends.
Yeah.
Or not even your therapy friends. If someone is helping you through something, and once you have, like, maybe healed a little bit, just ask them how they're doing.
Yeah.
Because I think that that is something that's so intuitive to someone who is the therapy friend to always, I feel like I constantly am asking people how they're doing, or like I'm reading body language. Like even today there was someone that I was sitting with and I could tell something was wrong. And so I asked them how they were doing. They didn't want to talk about it. So then we went outside and then I was like, hey, like, you know, is everything okay? And they're like, absolutely not. Aww. My life is in shambles. Aww. And I was like, okay, because, you know, read body language. If you can be there for someone, try to do it.
Yeah.
But also keep your boundaries straight.
Mm-hmm.
And don't offer, this is something that I'll say to my future self and my past self, don't offer support that you know that you can't keep up
yeah.
with. Make the boundary right then and there, especially if it's a new person in your life. If you know that you can't take on that burden, at the end of the day, it's going to both hurt you and the other person.
Yeah. I think that we've given quite a bit of homework
for this week,
but I think it's really good. Like, I think a lot of what we've said is some great stuff to kind of reflect on, and maybe you resonated with being the therapy friend. Maybe you can think of someone in your life who really has been the therapy friend for you. So I would definitely challenge everyone listening to kind of have a little think about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this has been a really fun episode.
This is very fun.
Long awaited for Therapy Hour. And a very exciting episode to end off 2021.
Yeah, we want to thank everyone that's been listening.
Yeah, our loyal listeners.
It's been, I know we talk about this all the time, but it's been really, really lovely. You know, Violet and I have been talking about starting this podcast for a few months. And just seeing how, like, the reception to it has just been really, really fantastic. So we want to thank everyone that's been listening in.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you for listening to literally an hour of us just talking about ourselves. I hope that everyone enjoyed it and we could shine some light.
Yeah, if you've learned anything, let us know. I like hearing, you know, when people talk about the parts that they relate to or what it sparked in them. You can always DM us on Instagram.
Therapy
Good segue.
Hour Pod.
Therapy Hour Pod on Instagram. If you missed some of our old episodes, you can listen to them on CITR.ca. They're always podcasted online. And we will hear you in the new year.
Yeah. We don't know what our next episode is on.
Nope. but that's okay.
Because it's okay to not have your stuff together sometimes.
All right. Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
Big kisses to everyone.